Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secret is Prayer podcast. And let's get started because Lauren is already in the zone. So go for it.
Jesus, thank you for letting us be here today. Please open our minds and our hearts and our ears so that we can understand and learn your word and that we're able to share it with others so that they can also learn from it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so we have a lot to cover because we're going to try and finish Genesis here today because we're down to the last five chapters. So we're going to pick up right where we left off with Joseph revealing his identity to his brothers. So remember that in the last chapter, Judah is pleading with him for Benjamin because Joseph planted the cup in Benjamin's bag so that he would have to stay. But Judah pleads for him not to stay because it would hurt their father Jacob, and he didn't want to put him through that. So Judah offers to stay in place of his brother Benjamin. And here is where Joseph sees how his brother Judah has changed, because to where they abandoned him when he was young and sold him to the slaves. Here they were all sticking together and were not willing to leave Benjamin behind. So we'll kick it off with chapter 45. Joseph reveals his identity. Joseph could no longer keep his composure in front of all his attendants. So he called out, "Send everybody away from me." No one was with him when he revealed his identity to his brothers, but he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and also Pharaoh's household heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But they could not answer him because they were terrified in his presence. So Joseph can no longer contain himself, because remember, Joseph hadn't revealed who he was, and he was testing them. So here Joseph finally decides he can't
contain keep it
himself
anymore.
Yeah, he can't keep those emotions in anymore. And we saw where he previously in the previous two chapters where he had already had to set himself aside to cry to compose himself, because all these emotions had come up when he saw his brothers, but they didn't recognize him. But you know, as I was reading more on here where Joseph was so emotional, and the name of the chapter is Joseph Reveals His Identity, but I think for us, Joseph reveals his emotional strength.
Right.
Because I think he was feeling grief and anger, because as we read on, Joseph tells his brothers, "Please come near me." And they came near, and he tells them, "I am Joseph, your brother," he said, "the one you sold into Egypt. And now don't be grieved or angry with yourselves for selling me here, because God sent me ahead of you to preserve life." So his brothers are so terrified, because here is a man of power now, because Joseph is the one right under Pharaoh.
Right.
So they're afraid, like they can't even talk. You know, they're afraid of what's going to happen when Joseph reveals himself. What's he going to do with them? But Joseph tells them, come near and don't be grieved or angry with yourselves. And I thought that was weird that he would tell them, because it says that they're terrified, not that they're grieved. You know, it says that they're terrified. And so I think Joseph was the one feeling grieved and angry, but not in the sense where he couldn't forgive them.
So you think in a way he was telling himself?
I think he was telling himself. I think those are the emotions he was feeling.
Right.
I think he had already forgiven them, but he was feeling grief and anger because he hadn't seen them all this time, you know?
No.
And I think that he was feeling grief and anger in the sense that he wanted to tell them, maybe like, "Do you know what I've been through? You know, do you know how alone I was? Do you know how frightened I was? Do you know you know, like all those things, do you know?
But we have to remember too, I mean, he's human and we can say we forgive, but when the people are in front of us, how do we know that these emotions won't creep in, we'll react without thinking about it? You know, like it's hard to, I would think you need to see them from afar to control your emotions. But when they're right here, how can you not? You
know? And I think that that's exactly what happened here. And I was thinking to myself, right, man, I'm so happy that this is in here, because even Joseph, you know, and we see where he's grown in, you know, spiritually from where he was to now, and to have, you know, and our emotions play a big part on it, because here he has all the power in the world. You know, he could have killed them. He could have, you know, sent them away, not giving them any food, and they would have starved. He could have imprisoned them. You know, he could have done anything he wanted. And right, I think he had a lot of time here from when he first saw them, and then when he sent them away until when they returned. I think he, I think that he was struggling there. Like, I think he had that time to deal with that. And, but because of where he was with God by now, I think that he was able to see that God allowed it and that God was working that whole time, because, you know, he tells them you know, when he tells them, don't grieve or be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because God sent me ahead of you to preserve life. So like he was already, he knew what he needed to do. You know, he knew that everything that had happened had to happen in order to save other people. He knew God was working in his life and was in control the whole time.
So what a lesson of true forgiveness right here.
Yes, I thought so too. I think that the story of Joseph, we're gonna see as we keep reading, that it's the complete story,
right?
Of, full circle of, right here. Yes. So okay, so then he tells them, God sent me ahead of you to establish you as a remnant within the land and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, lord of the entire household, and ruler over all of the land of Egypt. So here we see where you know, where he is. He knows that what God wants him to do, you know. And we know already that Joseph, because of where he is with God, that he's going to remain loyal to God, you know, and that what God wants him to do here is to show his brothers love.
Wow.
And, you know, and not vengeance, you know, not revenge. So so he tells them,
in a way, this could be their revenge. You know what I mean? In a certain way, them seeing their brother could be some type of revenge, because he probably suffered. He got what he deserved. You know, we sold him, not even thinking that he suffered some, but look at the life that he's leading now, you know?
Well, God, you know, when we're loyal, when we suffer, it's never for nothing. It's never for nothing, you know? Right. And God does reward us for our loyalty, you know? And that's what we see here, is how God has rewarded Joseph for his loyalty. And I think, and it does say that, you know, I think that's what we get from scripture, is that those who do wrong to you, you know, it's through the goodness that God does for those that he saves, that they see, you know, God work. And that's, I think that we're going to see that coming to full circle too, as the story ends here for them. And, you know, and Joseph, you know, even if he would have told them, you know, do you know what I've been through? Do you know, how lonely I was, how afraid I was, and what the things that happened to me, you know, they wouldn't know all that he went through, you know?
Yeah.
They wouldn't understand that. Only God can know, you know, what Joseph really went through. And I think that Joseph understood that.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so he tells them, return quickly to my father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me the Lord of Egypt. Come down to me without delay. You can settle in the land of Goshen and be near me. you, your children, and your grandchildren, your flocks, your herds, and all you have. So Joseph tells him, go get my father, tell him who I am, and, you know, bring him over here so that they can, so he can be near him. And remember, Joseph loved his father, and his father loved him, because remember, he gave him the coat of many colors and all that. And he knew that, that Joseph had a gift and all that. So Joseph had missed out on a lot because of what his brothers did. So, so then they returned for Jacob. When the news reached Pharaoh's palace, Joseph's brothers have come, Pharaoh and his servants were pleased. Pharaoh said to Joseph, tell your brothers, do this, load your animals and go on back to the land of Canaan. Get your father and your families and come back to me. So Pharaoh's happy that Joseph's brothers are there. And he tells them, do this, take wagons from the land of Egypt for your dependents and your wives and bring your father here. Do not be concerned about your belongings, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. So he's like, go and get them and bring them here. Tell them to not to worry about all their stuff. Just bring them here.
And not only that, but you're going to get the best. You and your family are going to get
the best. Yep. And so, and one of the commentaries that I read, it said, when the brothers showed up with the wagons, that it was almost like a huge 747 jet landing.
Wow.
Because that's how, you know, the meaning of the wagons and all that, you know, for them to arrive, that it was the impact that it would have had when they went back to Canaan to get everybody. Right. Like, so the wagons was a big deal. Yes. There you go. So the sons of Israel did this. Joseph gave them wagons as Pharaoh had commanded, and he gave them provisions for the journey. He gave each of the brothers changes of clothes, but he gave Benjamin 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of clothes. So, you know, and another thing too, that when Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, how stunned they were and how afraid they were. And it reminded me, because where it said that Joseph showed himself to them and he asked everyone to leave, that he might have had to have shown them proof. And he might have shown them like that he was either his scars or where he was circumcised.
Right. And, you know, on the verse right before, he tells them, look at my eyes. And these are the eyes of my brother Benjamin.
Oh, I didn't even catch that, Yvette.
Yeah.
Is that in 45 too?
What do you mean?
Yeah, it's still in 45. But if you look at the bottom before you read the return for Jacob.
Yeah,
where he sends them to delay, there's some verses, it's verse 12. Look, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin can see that I'm the one speaking.
Oh, yeah. Look, I see it.
Yeah.
Therefore, I will sustain you for three. There will be, because then he tells them, you know, there will be 5 more years of famine. Otherwise, you or your household and everything you have will become destitute. So he tells them, you know, about the famine, that there's going to be 7 years of the famine and all that. And I didn't even catch that. Wow. Yeah. Look, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin can see that I am the one speaking to you. So they must have been like with their mouth there open, you know,
like a deer caught in the headlights, right?
But, you know,
I read it wrong because I thought it was saying, like, if you look at me, you'll see the same eyes as my brother Benjamin.
But
that's how I read it.
Your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin can see that I'm the one speaking to you. Well, it kind of sounds like he's saying, like, we have the same eyes, isn't it?
That's what I
thought. Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
I think that's what it sounds like. Yeah.
Okay, because that's what I was thinking, like, this is proof that I am your brother. You know, because they have the same parents.
Yeah, that's, yes, mom. Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, because what I was getting to was like where he might have to have shown them proof too was it's kind of like the story of Jesus when he's resurrected and he tells them, look at my scars, when he tells, Thomas, mm-hmm. that when he shows them his scars and how we see that, how that is similar. Here, you know. Okay, so we'll keep going. So they went up from Egypt and came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan. They said, Joseph is still alive and he is ruler over all of the land of Egypt. Jacob was stunned, for he did not believe them. So here Jacob doesn't believe them, but when they, you know, but when he died, he believed them right away. And he was like, everything's coming against me. And here he's just stunned. He doesn't believe them.
But you think it's probably from all the years that he felt like his sons lied to him. Like, why should I believe you now?
We're
changing the story.
First and the grief. Yeah. The grief too, you know, like all this time had passed. So, but when they told Jacob all that Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the wagons that Joseph had sent to transport him, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. So when he saw the wagons, then he believed.
Then he believed.
And you know, and that's kind of like us. We didn't really believe. You know, when did we believe that Jesus was still alive? You know, it wasn't until we saw the signs and that we saw him really working in our lives, you know, because we knew of him. But when did we really believe?
Truly,
you know?
Right.
Yes. Okay, so chapter 46, Jacob leaves for Egypt. So Israel set out with all that he had and came to Beersheba, and he offered sacrifices to the God of his father, Isaac. That night, God spoke to Israel in a vision. Jacob, Jacob, he said, and Jacob replied, here I am. God said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also bring you back. Joseph will close your eyes when you die.
Wow.
So here we see, you know, they, this tells us that Jacob might have been worried about returning to Egypt. You know, he might have been contemplating about returning to Egypt, because remember when Abraham went to Egypt, that was a detour for him. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until he returned to Canaan. And then I think it was Isaac, or was it Abraham, that God told them, don't go to Egypt, stay away from Egypt, don't go to Egypt. So we see here where Jacob maybe might not have been so sure about returning to about going to Egypt, but God comes to him in a vision.
Him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And gives him confirmation that, you know, that it's okay to go to Egypt, and that he will be with him, but that he will also bring him back, and that Joseph will close his eyes when he dies. And it's kind of like, I was like, man, I can't even imagine dreaming that or seeing that in a vision, you know?
No.
But he might have been ready. You know, he might have been praying to see Joseph. You know, God knew how much he missed Joseph. And how much he wanted to see him. So Jacob left Beersheba. The sons of Israel took their father Jacob in the wagons Pharaoh has sent to carry him, along with their dependents and their wives. And so then here we go into, we'll continue to Jacob arriving in Egypt. So now Jacob has sent Judah, because, you know, they brought the whole family. So it wasn't just the brothers. It was their brothers and their families.
Right.
Everyone. They didn't leave anyone behind. And I think it was like 70 or 75 people.
Yeah.
That they brought. Yeah. It was a lot of people.
And it wasn't just the people. It was their animals.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So this is literally pick up your life and they moved.
Yes. And in the middle of a famine, you know, and luckily Joseph had provided for them.
For their
journey. So, but they, you know, they must have felt relief too, because this was, I think, like 2 years in, and there were still five more years of famine coming.
Mm-hmm.
So now Jacob has sent Judah ahead of him to Joseph to prepare for his arrival at Goshen. When they came to the land of Goshen, Joseph hitched the horses to his chariot and went up to Goshen to meet his father Israel. Joseph presented himself to him, threw his arms around him, and wept for a long time. Then Israel said to Joseph, I'm ready to die now because I have seen your face and you are still alive. So, you know, we can only imagine what that reunion must have been like for them. So then Israel said to Joseph, okay, so I'm ready to die now. So Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's family, I will go up and inform Pharaoh, telling him, my brothers and my father's family who were in the land of Canaan have come to me. So the men are shepherds. They also raise livestock. They have brought their flocks and herds and all that they have. When Pharaoh addresses you and asks, what is your occupation? You are to say, your servants, both we and our fathers have raised livestock from our youth until now. Then you will be allowed to settle in the land of Goshen, since all shepherds are detestable to Egyptians. So the Egyptians were, they were farmers. So, but I guess they needed help with the, they needed shepherd. Well, they didn't, I think they didn't eat the lamb. They didn't, they saw it as it was like they were dirty. So then, but then they also needed someone to help with the livestock. So this Joseph was telling them what they were going to say, so that so they were going to be servants to the Egyptians, but very well taken care of servants is what I got from this. So Pharaoh welcomes Jacob. So Joseph went and informed Pharaoh, my father and my brothers with their flocks and herds and all that they own have come from the land of Canaan and are now in the land of Goshen. And we see here where Joseph is the representative for his people, for all the people that came, you know. And it's kind of like us too with Jesus. He's our right. our representative, you know, between us and God. And we see Joseph act in that way here with for his people. So he goes to Pharaoh, because Pharaoh was seen as a god of the sun, I think, or something. So so we can kind of see that play out here in the same way, and then related to how we are, our relationship is with Jesus and God. So they said to Pharaoh, your servants, both we and our fathers, are shepherds, and we have come to stay in the land for a while. So this is Jacob, for a while, because there is no grazing land for your servant sheep, since the famine in the land of Canaan has been severe. So now please let your servant settle in the land of Goshen. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, now that your father and brothers have come to you, the land of Egypt is open before you. Settle your father and brothers in the best part of the land. They can live in the land of Goshen. If you know of any capable men among them, put them in charge of my livestock. Wow. So Joseph then brought his father Jacob and presented him to Pharaoh. Oh, I thought it was already Jacob in there, but so that was Joseph. And so now Joseph brings Jacob and presents him to Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Jacob, how many years have you lived? And Jacob said to Pharaoh, my pilgrimage has lasted 130 years. So wow. Here we see where you know, Jacob is saying, you know, my pilgrimage. Oh my God, I can't say it. My pilgrimage. You know, like he's just passing through. He's just passing through. You know, he knows that you know, his home was in heaven. And he told them has lasted 130 years. So no wonder he's like, I'm ready to die.
I'm ready.
Mm-hmm. My years have been few and hard, and they have not reached the years of my fathers during their pilgrimage. So Jacob blessed Pharaoh and departed from Pharaoh's presence. So here we see, you know, for Pharaoh, because Pharaoh, like I said, Pharaoh was seen as a god. So mm-hmm. for him to allow Jacob to bless him, you know, that said a lot of Jacob, you know, and that he saw that God was in Jacob too, not only like Joseph, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So then Joseph Joseph settled his father and brothers in the land of Egypt and gave them property in the best part of the land of Rameses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph provided his father, his brothers, and all his father's family with food for their dependents. So here we see in the same way that Joseph provided for them and all their families, how Jesus also provides
mm-hmm.
for us, you know?
Right.
So
for our families too, you know?
Yes.
Not just us. So it's almost like he's with us and our covering expands over
our families. And how important it is, what we do and what we believe, mm-hmm. So that our families can be covered, you know?
Covered too.
Mm-hmm. So then the land becomes feral. So during the famine, the people start running out of money, out of silver. So they start having to pay Pharaoh with their livestock and their land. And Joseph is, remember, he's the one that's in charge of all the land and all that for Pharaoh. So Pharaoh's land and livestock and all that is growing because he's giving the people food to eat. So mm-hmm. so we see where they're still being fruitful and they're still prospering, you know, at where they are. And how well they're doing in the middle of a famine. And we can relate right. to that, and how hard things can get because of, you know, with COVID when we were on lockdown and all that stuff. So it can right. get pretty, pretty scary. But here we see that Joseph and his family, that they're all doing really well, and how God protected them through it. Not only protected them and provided them, but they prospered in it.
They prospered in it, right.
Okay, so the Israel settles in Goshen. Israel settled in the land of Egypt in the region of Goshen. They acquired property in it and became fruitful and very numerous. So now Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So Jacob still lived another 17 years, and his lifespan wow. was 147 years. When the time approached for him to die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, "If I have found favor with you, put your hand under my thigh and promise me that you will deal with me in kindness and faithfulness. Do not bury me in Egypt. When I rest with my fathers, carry me away from Egypt and bury me in their burial place." So Joseph answered, "I will do what you have asked." So then Jacob already, you know, he makes his arrangements for when he dies, that he doesn't want right. to stay in Egypt, to take him back to where his fathers are. So Jacob blesses Ephraim and Manasseh. Sometime after this, Joseph was told, "Your father is weaker." So he set out with his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. When Jacob was told, "Your son Joseph has come to you," Israel summoned his strength and sat up in the bed. So Jacob said to Joseph, "God Almighty appeared to me and at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. He said to me, 'I will make you fruitful and numerous. I will make many nations come from you, and I will give this land as a permanent possession to your future descendants. Your two sons born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt are now mine.'" So here Jacob is remembering the promise that God made to him. And he repeats actually the exact same words that God said to him: "I will make you fruitful and numerous. I will make many nations come from you, and I will give this land as a permanent possession." So here we see that for your future descendants. So here we see where it's being passed down from, the blessing is being passed from Jacob to Joseph and his two sons. So then Joseph brings his sons to his father, and he tells them, "They are my sons that God has given me here." So Israel said, "Bring them to me and I will bless them." Now his eyesight was poor because of old age. He could hardly see. So Joseph brought them to him and he kissed and embraced them. Israel said to Joseph, I never expected to see your face again, but now God has even let me see your offspring. So there we see how, you know, that he even, how, like, what a gift, right? What a gift that he, here he has a son that he thought was dead, but God even let him see his grandchildren, you know, Joseph's offspring, and having a grandbaby. Well, I can totally, you know, like, what a blessing it is to be able to.
And, you know, this is so, just hearing it when you're reading it, I want to cry, because I feel like this part, like my mom, before she passed away, my brother was estranged from his older son, one of my brothers. And, you know, my mom would pray and pray to God to let them come back together, you know. And right before my mom passed, during the holidays, my brother was reunited with his son, and my mom got to see them together before, like 2 months before she passed. And seeing this, it's like God allowed my mom to see my brother and his son. So yeah,
and that's a gift.
As you're reading it though, it's like you're talking about my mom's situation.
You know, it's a gift. It's a true gift, you know? And so
but you know, the mother of my nephew's heart was very hardened towards my brother. So I know it's all God who did that there. Like, he worked to bring my nephew to get to see not only my brother, but also my mom too. So again, look how God can intervene and soften her heart enough to say, okay, go ahead, you can go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. So, and then, and you know, we see here how Joseph is blessed twice, you know, in a sense, because he received the blessing from his father, but then also his children received the blessing, you know, too. from Jacob too. So so it's just you know, again, wow. So so then Jacob blesses his sons Manasseh and Ephraim. Then, but he blesses when usually the older son gets the first blessing, but Jacob puts his right hand on the younger son, and then, and his left hand on the older son, and Joseph tries to correct him, but Jacob tells him, no, I know what I am doing. So Israel's right. And brought them to Israel. But Israel stretched out his right hand and put it on the hand of Ephraim, the younger, and crossing his hands, put his left on Manasseh's head, although Manasseh was the firstborn. Then he blessed Joseph and said, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all harm, may he bless these boys. And may they be called by my name and the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and may they grow to be numerous within the land. When Joseph saw that his father had placed his right hand on Ephraim's head, he thought it was a mistake and took his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's. Joseph said to his father, not that way, my father, this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He too will become a tribe and he too will be great. Nevertheless, his younger brother will be greater than he, and his offspring will become a populous nation. So he blessed them that day, putting Ephraim before Manasseh, when he said, the nation Israel will invoke blessings by you, saying, may God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. So the blessing is not only a blessing. Jacob is also prophesying here, you know, before he dies. But he tells him, but God will be with you and will bring you back to the land of your fathers. So, and we're going to see that, you know, later, because that would be 400 or more years later, and it would be the descendants of Joseph. So Jacob's last words, then Jacob called his sons and said, gather around and I will tell you what will happen to you in the days to come. So dun, dun, dun. So here we're going to see He tells them, come together and listen, sons of Jacob. Listen to your father, Israel. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my strength, and the first fruits of my virility, excelling in prominence, excelling in power. Turbulent as water, you will not excel because you got into your father's bed and you defiled it. He got into my bed. So this might have been something that Reuben might have thought was forgotten, and no. You know?
Nope.
Yep. So
let me say real quick, because I was talking to you about the blessings and I noticed I was on mute.
Oh, I was wondering. I was like,
talking. And I just looked up. I said, I'm on mute. But I wanted to say the blessings, how he knew what he was doing, but yeah, it's almost the same as Jacob and Esau, right?
Yes, because right.
He, no matter how Isaac wanted to do the blessing, I think the blessing went to who it was supposed to go to.
Right. And so God, and there we see God's hand too, right? How right. God is in control. And that's also a perfect example of how sometimes the first can be last, you right. know?
Right. And you see that a lot in scripture, and I think
yes.
in the gospels too.
Right, mm-hmm. right. So that's Reuben. So his, you know, Reuben's doesn't sound too well. So, no. And then no. Simon and Levi are brothers. Their knives are vicious weapons. May I never enter their council. May I never join their assembly. For in their anger, they killed men, and on a whim, they hamstring oxen. Their anger is cursed, for it is strong, and their fury, for it is cruel. I will disperse them throughout Jacob and scatter them throughout Israel. So with Simon and Levi, remember, they're the ones that took revenge on the ones who raped their sister Dinah, and they took vengeance into their own hands. So here,
right.
again, you know, Jacob... calls them out on that and the consequences of that. So, and then Judah, he tells them, Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the necks of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down to you. Judah is a young lion. My son, you return from the kill. He crouches. He lies down like a lion or a lioness. Who dares to rouse him? The scepter will not depart from Judah, or the staff from between his feet, until he whose right it is to come, and the obedience of the peoples belongs to him. He ties his donkey to a vine, and the colt of his donkey to the choice vine. He washes his clothes in wine, and his robes in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine, and his teeth are whiter than milk. So here, you know, he prophesies the Messiah. Until the right,
you,
yeah, until he who is right, it is to come. Yep, because it comes from Judah's, from his Judah's line. Yeah, and remember Judah, we saw where Judah fully repented when he offered to give his life for Benjamin, you know, and how his heart had yeah. changed, you know, because Judah was the one who's, I think he's the one that came up with the idea of selling Joseph to as a slave.
So that makes sense that his heart had to change before
yes.
the Messiah can come from his line.
Right. Yes. Okay. And we see how here, you know, here we see that the mercy and grace of God, you know, because right. he did repent.
Wow. I'm glad you caught that, because I read this before and I did not. Wow. So he's describing the Messiah to come.
Yes. And two, I was going to, because I just saw one of my notes here, you know, where we were talking about how, you know, the first will be last. We also saw that with David. Remember, David was the youngest of all his brothers.
Yes.
And he was the one that was chosen to be king.
To be king. Mm-hmm. Wow. So I think it baffles me. It's hard to understand why Jesus didn't come from Joseph's line, because, you know, because of everything. Like I just assumed, especially Joseph having this story, you know, I mean, he has his reasons, but yeah, I'm still like, wow, I wonder why Jesus didn't come from Joseph's
line. From Joseph's line. Well, and in this, but in a sense, we see Jesus too in Joseph. Remember, because Joseph is kind of like a pre-incarnate Jesus too.
But do we know where Judah is in his line? Like with his mom, is he the youngest child? I may have to go back and search that because I wonder.
Yeah,
now.
We have to look.
It seems like
I don't
all
know.
The youngest are getting the blessings. So I'm just wondering if Judah from Jacob and his mom, if he's the youngest child.
Oh, yeah,
we
I
have
don't
to
know.
Have to go back and search that.
And so he goes on with Zebulun and then Issachar and then
Dan.
Yeah, and that Dan will judge his people. And from Dan came Samson and Judges, from Judges, where we read about Samson. And then here Jacob takes a breath, because then after he gives Dan his blessing, he says, I wait for your salvation, Lord. So it's kind of like he breaks and, you know, and asks for the Lord's salvation. Yeah. And so, and then he goes on to Gad, who will be attacked by raiders, but he will attack their heels. So, and Asher's food will be rich and he will produce royal delicacies. And then, Naphtali is a Doset free that bears beautiful fawns. And then he gets to Joseph. Joseph is a fruitful vine beside a spring. Its branches climb over the wall. The archers attacked him, shot at him, and were hostile towards him. Yet his bow remained steady and his strong arms were made by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob, by the name of the shepherd, the rock of Israel, by the God of your father who helps you, and by the Almighty who blesses you with blessings of the heavens above, blessings of the deep that lies below, and blessings of the breast and the womb. The blessings of your father excel the blessings of my ancestors, and the bounty of the ancient hills. May they rest on the head of Joseph and the brow of the prince of his brothers. So here he calls Joseph the prince of his brothers, you know?
Yeah.
So, and the way he's describing, you know, like he can see, you know, it's just, I thought that was beautiful. I hadn't read that before, you know, and he calls Joseph a fruitful vine. And that's the way Jesus is described too, right, as a fruitful vine. So we see a lot of the
similarities,
the characteristics of Jesus in Joseph. And then Benjamin is a wolf. He tears his prey. In the morning he devours the prey, and in the evening he divides the plunder. Benjamin, his was a fierce tribe, and I believe that he provided, it was him and I forgot which other one they provided, and Zebulun, they provided many of the soldiers. Their descendants were the soldiers of David, for David. Yeah. Zebulun's line, provided like 640, soldiers for David.
Wow. I did not know that.
Or more. Yeah.
Wow.
Or thousands of soldiers. He provided a lot of soldiers for David. But that wouldn't be, no, the 640 I wrote down, that would be how many years later?
From here to David.
I think so. I think that's what I wrote down there. And then Dan, it was from one of them was where the, was going to bring, the idols, they introduced the idols when was the king Jeroboam comes and they bring the gold calves and all that. So that came from all these, you know, from other tribes.
Dan will be a snake by the road. So do they do evil in God's eyes?
Yeah, they don't. Who was that? Which one was that
Dan,
one?
When Dan, you brought up Dan about they bring the idol.
Yeah, a viper beside the path. Yeah, because that's where the Jeroboam comes from. And they're the ones that they introduce idolatry to the to the Israelis.
Okay.
So, yeah. Wow. So, okay. So, these are so
then 12 tribes.
Yep. Okay. And we see where Jacob prophesied, you know,
mm-hmm.
and how things were going to go. Yeah. So then Jacob's burial instructions. Then he commanded them, I am about to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave. And, you know, he had already given the instructions to Joseph. And he said mm-hmm. To bury him in the field Abraham purchased from Ephron and the Hittite. As burial property, Abraham and his wife Sarah are buried there. Isaac and his wife Rebecca are buried there, and I buried Leah there. So there we see that he, you know, he was buried with Leah.
Yeah.
You know,
and we know Judah came from her, so that's Judah's mom.
That's Judah's mom. So yeah. I think because that was wow. his first wife, I think that you know. Although Joseph came from Rachel. So.
Rachel. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another one that boggles my mind, you know, because
Me too.
Rachel was the love of his life, but he chose to be buried with Leah. So
But Judah came from Leah.
From Leah. Leah. Yeah, and that's where Jesus comes from. And the first.
You see? Yeah.
And so do you think that this ties into when we marry, that's why the second or third or fourth marriage doesn't count in God's eyes. Because when you're married to the first person, like that is your covenant marriage with God.
Well, I think that's why it's so important that we ask God, who should we marry, you know, and to bring our spouse to us mm-hmm. so that this doesn't happen, you know,
right.
And, you know, and in the same way that we saw with Sarah and what was her name?
Hagar,
mm-hmm. you know, he still, even though they shouldn't have did what they did, he still blessed Hagar and her son, you know,
right.
And
right.
I think that's what we see here. He still blessed, you know, Rachel and Leah, but we see that he was buried with Leah and that, you know, Jesus came from the line of Judah. And we see where Judah also did well too, you know, because his tribe did well.
Right. Yeah.
So, but we see where he used Joseph to save all the people from the famine and all that stuff. So, you know,
he had really big plans for Joseph for sure.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
And he started with Abraham from Abraham, you know, just one person. And then from there we saw Isaac. He brought Isaac and then from Isaac, Jacob, and then from Jacob, Joseph. And then from mm-hmm. Joseph, the blessing was transferred to Ephraim and Manasseh. So, you know, where he started with just one person, here we are, you know, because by then in Egypt, they multiplied to like millions of people.
And
you
I
know
do
where,
think,
where it started with just Abraham.
Right. And I do think Joseph's, if I remember correctly, when I read through Joseph's sons, they each represent different kingdoms in
Israel,
right?
Yeah, because okay. the younger so son ends up being the one over the northern part of
right.
the one that he said that he would be a greater. He ends up representing the northern part of Israel, which ended up being the greater part right. of Israel.
Yeah.
So then Joseph. So then Joseph, leaning over his father's face, wept and kissed him. He commanded his servants who were physicians to embalm his father. So they embalmed Israel. They took 40 days to complete this, for embalming takes that long. And the Egyptians wow. mourned for him 70 days. So they, you know, he got a royal mourning. When the days of mourning were over, Joseph said to Pharaoh's household, if I have found favor with you, please tell Pharaoh that my father made me take an oath saying, I am about to die. You must bury me there in the tomb that I made for myself in the land of Canaan. So So he asked for permission, you know, if he can keep that. He made an oath to his father, and if he could keep that oath and go bury his father back in Canaan. So Pharaoh said, go and bury your father in keeping with your oath. Was it in Canaan? Yeah, in Canaan, in the land of Canaan. Yeah. So then Joseph goes to bury his father. And it was a big procession, because he took many people with him to go back and bury him.
Mm-hmm.
And all his brothers.
Right.
It was a very impressive procession. When they reached the threshing floor of Atad, which is across the Jordan, they lamented and wept loudly. And Joseph mourned 7 days for his father. When the Canaanite inhabitants of the land saw the mourning at the threshing floor of Atad, they said, this is a solemn mourning on the part of the Egyptians. Therefore, the place is named Abel Mizraim. It is across the Jordan. So Jacob's sons did for him what he had commanded them. And that's another blessing, you know, that they were able, that Jacob was able, here we see where Jacob died in peace, you know, and that they were able to, that he was able to tell them what he wanted for his mm-hmm. burial, and that they followed his instructions and were able right. to bury him where he wanted, you know?
Right.
So they honored him, you know?
Yes.
They honored him and God honored him, you know, because he gave him his wishes. He got to see his Joseph, you know, Joseph was still alive. He got to see his offspring. He got to mm-hmm. bless them all and all that. So
he got to bless everyone. So that he got buried in Canaan. So they were already in the promised land, right? But because of the famine, they had to go to Egypt.
Yeah. And then they went to bury
back
him.
To bury him in the promised land.
Yeah. But then, okay. And then they go back to Egypt.
Okay.
After Joseph buried his father.
Isn't that, sorry. I was just going to say, I would think, isn't that still like disobedient to God? But he told him to go to Egypt.
He told him to go to Egypt. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
After Joseph buried his father, he returned to Egypt with his brothers and all who had gone with him to bury his father. Joseph's kindness. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said to one another, if Joseph is holding a grudge against us, he will certainly repay us for all the suffering we caused him. So here we see that his brothers are still afraid of Joseph, you know, like they're like, oh man, dad,
they were hiding behind him. Really,
yeah. He's like, he's really going to come after us now. I thought that was funny because it's, I could totally see that, you know? So yeah, they said, yeah. Sent this message to Joseph. Before he died, your father gave a command. Say this to Joseph, please forgive your brothers' transgressions and their sin, the suffering they caused you. Therefore, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father. Joseph wept when their message came to him. So if they thought Joseph was holding a grudge, but he didn't. Joseph had already forgiven them. You know, Joseph had already forgiven them. And that's not to say that he forgot what happened, you know, because then.
Because we saw that when he told them.
He told them. And then mm-hmm. He tells them again because his brothers also came to him and they bowed down before him and said, we are your slaves, you know.
Yes.
And Joseph said to them again, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? So he tells them, like, I gave what you did to me, I gave it to God. You know, right. I gave it to God for God to do what he wants with that. You know, you planned for evil against me, but God planned it for good to bring about the present result, the survival of many people. Therefore, don't be afraid. I will take care of you and your children. And he comforted them and spoke kindly of them. And I thought that was huge,
wow. Yes.
You know, because right there he tells them, hey, I'm not seeking vengeance, you know, and it tells us how we should also give our problems to God, you know, because here, look what God did with everything that happened. I mean, look at, and now yeah. Joseph, you know, because if we're not careful with that, then we could end up sinning, you know, then we end up sinning and seeking vengeance and, or, you know, we could plant, you know, that seed of bitterness in our hearts. And look how, what a life of Joseph, you know, like what a life.
Another lesson, you know, of surrender, because for him to go through mm-hmm. all that, Joseph had to truly surrender his life to God yeah. and allow him to place him where he needed to be placed right at the right time, you know. Yeah. So, wow.
And then Joseph's death. Joseph and his father's family remained in Egypt. Joseph lived 110 years. He saw Ephraim's sons to the third generation. The sons of Manasseh's sons, Mishir, were recognized by Joseph. Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will certainly come to your aid and bring you up from this land to the land he swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So Joseph made the sons of Israel take an oath. When God comes to your aid, you are to carry my bones up from here. Joseph died at the age of 110. They embalmed him and placed him in a coffin in Egypt. So they put Joseph died, and Joseph said that he didn't want to be buried in Egypt, that his bones are to be carried back to the promised land. Right. So they kept him there in a coffin for over 400 years. It wasn't until like over 400 oh, yeah. years later that when Israel left Egypt in the Exodus, that that they then carried they Joseph's bones. Yeah.
Wow. So they didn't even take him right away. I wonder why they waited all that time.
Because he didn't want to be buried. He told him not until the promise of God. When God comes to your aid. Yeah, when God comes to your aid. And I can imagine what they were thinking. Like, what do you mean when he comes to our aid? Why? What's going to happen? Because then the pharaohs forget about Joseph. You know, Joseph dies and then the pharaohs forget. And then they become the slaves of the Egyptians. Like everything falls apart and they become, right. you know, right. oppressed by the Egyptians and they become slaves. But Joseph's bones remain there as a reminder or a sign that God will come, you know, that God was going to come to their aid, but it wouldn't be until 400 years later.
So it's always on God's timing. It's never when
exactly.
we want.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yep. So.
Wow.
But, that's you know, just, I mean, there's so much here.
So much there. Yeah. I mean, it starts from the lesson of marriage, how to raise your child.
Family, yeah.
How to forgive, how to surrender.
Exactly.
Wow.
It's yeah, because if we were to apply this, you know, to any, our lives today, you know, and if you've been betrayed, you know, and by someone that you love, and it could be your spouse, it could be, you know,
a sibling,
a child, mm-hmm. you know, one of your kids or, you know, when you've been betrayed, that how, if you give that to God, how God can, that really does turn it around for good. And how we have to, control our emotions so that we don't make the wrong decisions, because Joseph could have handled this a million kind of ways, and he didn't, you know. And if he had not spent all that time with God, you know, how would he have handled that reunion when he met his brothers, you know?
He had a lot of reasons to be bitter, angry, unforgiving, you know. It took him away, not just it took him away from everything. His father, his mother, he wasn't there when his mom passed. Right. I don't think he was.
Yeah, no, he wasn't there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how God sees everything.
Yes.
To the point where you'll have your inheritance. I mean, he'll pass you by, like in the end when it's like, no, you're not going to get it. No, you're not going to get it. Because you did this. You did this. And in the end, it's the... it's the one who follows God the most, or whose heart, right? Because we don't
the one that's obedient, and the one whose heart is changed, you know, that's in the right place. Because Joseph had to forgive, you know, he forgave his brothers. And remember, there's the prayer too of Philippians. It's in Philippians 4. Any emotion should be brought to God in prayer. You know, and that's something that we need to remember, because we can become overwhelmed with our emotions. And we saw where rage, you know, where Cain and Abel, and then even with Esau and and his brother, how it destroyed their relationship for years, and how that all that was detoured, and there was consequences for all of that. So
right, yeah, and then we see it here again with the brothers with Joseph.
Yep, and then you know, and also another scripture that came to mind was love your enemies. You know, love your enemies, because we I don't think we ever think about our the people that we love becoming our enemies, you know?
Right.
And I really think that's when that comes into play, because it could be, you know, a family member. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's that's when all that comes into play. You know, are you able to love them, you know, even though everything that they have done to you, you know?
Right.
There's that scripture that where God says, don't come to me if you haven't forgiven your brother or your sister or your brother. I don't know if you mentioned sister, but it means sister too.
Right.
Your brother, then don't come to me because I'm not hearing you.
I'm not going to hear
you. I don't know what it is, but there's that scripture.
Yeah. And we can't do it without God. There's no way that we can get to where Joseph got, you know, without God. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no way that we could do any of that by ourselves. It's only with God, you know, because he's the only one that can heal us through all that.
But I think, you know, the main thing that we see throughout everything is you have to give that full surrender, I think. Because without that full surrender, then how can he truly heal you and guide you when you're still having something
when you're still fighting it
because we saw that with Abraham, we saw that with I don't know, with Isaac. I think with Isaac it was more of just with the sons. He had the favorite son, you know, Esau, instead of loving both his boys together.
Right.
We definitely saw it with Jacob. It took a long time, and he wrestled. Literally,
Well,
even with Joseph, when he had to excuse himself and go to another room, because you know he's fighting his own emotions. So you're
right. So I mean, it happens to all of us because we're all human, and that's
exactly.
Where we have to...
And it doesn't. It happens. You know what his brothers did happened. Mm-hmm. It doesn't erase what happened. You know, these were scars I'm sure Joseph carried with him, you know, and that Joseph had to contain himself or restrain himself all those years, you know, because he, you know, he was trying to survive, you know, as a slave. And then, you know, he got promoted, and then he was having to run from that woman that kept trying to rape him. You know, exactly. And then, you know, being thrown in prison and all that, like he had to, you know, he had so much going on, and then still being able to stand firm and stay loyal to God. Yeah. But he saw where he didn't want to compromise his relationship with God. He knew that God was the one helping him and guiding him, and that in no way did he want to compromise that relationship, you know. And as hard as it was, he stood firm and was loyal to God, and God rewarded him for it.
Right. And we never saw him once waver from that, from the moment that he was sold into slavery up until the time that he passed. And gosh, I wish I could go back. And I think we always keep saying that, like, I wish we can go back in time and choose God over and allow him to guide us correctly. Cause it took us a long time. And, you know, I keep hearing it where people say, we didn't find God. God found us.
Right.
You know? So it's a good lesson, this Genesis, reading it with you and Nena, and going through it and talking about it and dissecting it. It's a big lesson there. And I hope
a huge lesson, like what a revelation.
And I hope we reached out to, I hope it touched somebody and helped them in a way, because big revelations there in that book.
Yep.
Yep.
Do you have a prayer for us, Yvette? Or were you
going to
say
something? No,
that's it. Okay, I do. And I think this scripture perfectly closes the book of Genesis, because we've seen where God, no matter how you fight it or don't fight it, his plan, his timing is always perfect. It's Jeremiah 29:11. It's my favorite. God gave it to me throughout my journey, and he still gives it to me to this day. it says, "For I know the plans I have for you." This is the Lord's declaration. Plans for your well-being, not for your disaster, to give you a future and a hope. You will call to me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. And we are going to take a little bit of a break for the holidays, and then we'll be back. Do we know yet which one we're doing next?
Isaiah. I thought we said Isaiah.
Ooh, Isaiah. Yep. So we'll come back and talk about Isaiah. Bye-bye. Happy Thanksgiving and Merry Christmas.
Yep. Merry Christmas. Happy Thanksgiving.